Father, thank you for your word this morning. We just thank you for everything that you're teaching us and growing us through the Gospel of John. And Holy Spirit, you're the teacher, so our hearts are wide open to you. Continue to equip us and mature us and grow us, Lord, that we can make a difference, even in the places and with the people, Lord, that maybe aren't receptive. They just don't know yet. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So I am asking you to sit in John each week with us. We've been in John chapter 4, and we'll finish that up today. But start this week with John chapter 5, sitting with the Lord in that, writing out what he reveals to you. The reason we do that is we're not interested in just training you to hear messages. We want to train you to hear the voice of the Lord through Scripture. Okay? Not just live from sermon to sermon, right? But to hear the voice of the Lord yourself. So let's go back to John chapter 4, verse 39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Look at verse 42. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, you pull that into modern day, maybe you have been to church several times, you hear people talk about Jesus and knowing Jesus, but that one day it happens where you hear him for yourself. Do you see the difference? You're not just hearing a message at church or on TV or YouTube, but you've heard the voice of your shepherd yourself. That's what happened here in Samaria. And not only did they, quote, believe, but look, we know, not just believe, we know he's the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so we emphasize this a lot around here, that you're not just hearing the Lord's voice through other people, but you hear the voice of the Lord for yourself. I cover this in my new book I mentioned last week. Chapter 5 is specifically about this topic and this passage right here. What I want you to get in hearing the voice of the Lord is keep this in mind. Because I'm going to say again, this is important for you to know. If we're encouraging you to hear the voice of the Lord through Scripture and commune with the Holy Spirit, then it's important for us to tell you what that looks like, what he sounds like. So the voice of the Lord is never going to bring condemnation or shame. It's going to bring strength and conviction and transformation. The voice of the Lord to you, even if it's a challenging word, you'll feel loved many times. Not all the time. Because I've had times where the Lord's leaned into me, and I it was heavy. It was heavy on me. I knew he was asking me to give up something that maybe my heart loved, or that, you know, I was really struggling with this or that. So it's not always feel good. But how many of you know, not everything that feels good is good. Right. Not everything that feels bad is bad. So keep that in mind. It may not always be peace, love, and grooviness. Now, there's been times he spoke to me and he convicted me and he spoke truth to me and I felt very loved and empowered. Sometimes, I think some people call it the dark night of the soul. There's times where he's leaning into you and it's just heavy. I didn't want to go out and cheerlead. It's like, Lord, I know this is true, but this is hard. So knowing the voice of the Lord, he's not condemning, he's not shaming you. He's going to transform you. And he will speak truth to you in love. Thank you, Lord. It can come in the form of a still small voice, and his voice is probably going to sound a lot like yours, so he doesn't scare you. So still small voice, what else? Divine thought. You ever been sitting there and have a divine thought that, hey, maybe this is what he's asking me to do. And you just know in your knower. a divine thought. How many of you know this, though? Not every thought you have is from God. How many of you had thoughts that you know weren't God? And then how many of you, the enemy tried to condemn you for even having that thought? That's when you say, shut up, devil. That wasn't my thought. That was your thought. You gave me that. So remember that. Because the world, the culture we live in is like, oh, well, if you feel that way, you probably are that way. If you think that way, you probably are that. No, not every thought and feeling you have is coming from you or from God. So what do? Well, you line it up with a word. You go to the word. Let's go ahead and put those up there, the five things. So what I mentioned is it can be a thought, it can be an image or a vision. It can be a still, small voice when you're hearing him. I love eat the word because, you know, what we're training people to do is sit in scripture and say, Lord, I know what this says, ink on paper. But what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me through this passage? So the number one way in hearing the voice of the Lord is to always make reading scripture an act of listening to the Holy Spirit. We are not just proponents of read the Bible through in a year so you can check it off your list and it sounds like a good idea and it seems religious to read the Bible through in a year. I don't want you reading the Bible through in a year and then having no idea what the Lord spoke to you personally. What the living voice had to say through the scripture. We're not checking religious boxes if we don't live every day by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, ongoing present tense, not just a word that was written, but a word that's being spoken in the present tense. Then we're going to struggle. So make your reading of Scripture an act of listening to the Holy Spirit, connecting with Christ and doing what he says. Okay, how do you know if it's the Lord's voice? Does it line up with Scripture? Number two, does it line up with who God says you are in his word? Number three, does it line up with the nature of God revealed through Jesus Christ? Is it Christ-like? Is it accompanied by the peace of God? And then does it line up with godly counsel? Have spiritual family around you, good brothers and sisters that love you well, that would say to you, Danny, that is not the Lord. And I can show you right here in Scripture how I know that's not the Lord. This is important because emotions are real, but they're not reliable. And you can have feelings. You can have a sense. You can have a leading, an unction, but we need to make sure it's the Lord. Amen. Love each other well. Turn to your neighbor and say, love me well, please. Turn to him again and say, tell me the truth. All right, let's go to verse 43 through 45. Now, after the 2 days, he departed from there and he went to Galilee. For Jesus himself, I'm losing myself. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor. Well, I guess we're going to do this again. This week. I'll give it one more opportunity. Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Verse 45, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they had gone to the feast. Now, this is really interesting. When you're in the Word, sit with the Lord, look for observations. What's sticking out to you? Verse 43, it says Jesus is going to Galilee. Verse 44, for he himself testified, there's no honor for him there. But what's he doing? He's going to Galilee. Now, that's the opposite of me. Because what I would do is like, I'd be like, Lord, you know, they're super open, so yes, I'll go. Right? But if it's like, Lord, they may take up rocks there. They don't have any honor for me there. Why would I want to go? Just fall on bad soil. Well, if the Lord says go, we go. And in some instances, he's sending because they're not open. This is like me going, I'm from Hera, so if I go to Hera Park and start prophesying, there would probably be people that would be like, I know this guy. I remember him. Why should we listen to him? But this is, as I mentioned earlier, a kairos that I'm walking through, a changing of my own mind, that I don't want to be timid or insecure. I don't want what determines whether I'm going to share truth with somebody, the level of their receptivity. I said it earlier, I want to be more concerned about offending God by not saying what he told me to say than I'm worried about offending somebody. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us a spirit of timidity or where we're intimidated, but power and love and soundness of mind. If not us, who? If we don't go, who will go? And we can't wait around until the culture's, you know, back loving Jesus again here in America. Let's not wait around for that. Let's share the things that he asks us to share. Now, that doesn't mean we run out, let's go pick fights with everybody. Do what the Lord says. If he says speak, speak. If he says love them well, love them well. Let him lead you. I love, you know, Pat Moore, he and Cassandra are with some of her family at their church this morning. And but Pat is such a blessing because he carries a heart for all the lost people on his job. I mean, he's not there every day. Well, let me back up. When he first started with M28, which is our discipling process we use, and he comes to my house every Tuesday with a handful of other men. When he first came, his description of work was, woe is me. And he wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. That it was about him and how they're treating him wrong. But as Pat began to abide in Christ, the word abide simply means live, remain, walk with, live connected to every day. As he began to abide in Christ, practice the Lord's presence, and then grow in his identity of who he really is in Christ, his identity isn't how he feels. His identity isn't what he was told when he was younger. His identity is who Christ has made him, who God says he is. And it's shifted him. So now when he's on his job, he has a heart for lost people. He actually prays for the drivers, the truck drivers that come in to drop off loads. He's asking for divine appointments, people that he can encourage. I think that's so powerful. We say this around here, but we don't say it enough. And I don't know how well we live it, but most of the ministry of Christ in and through us should not happen in this building. Amen. It should happen outside of this building. And so I want you to shift some of your thinking at your workplace, because you may be one that thinks, man, I hate this place. It's so hard here. It's so oppressive here, or whatever. Well, you may be there because you're light and salt. And the people around you need to see something different. And if that's you, if you're like, man, I just don't have it, Steve, join me. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. I don't want to be timid. I want to have the authority of Christ. You know, in Matthew 28:18-20, when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, go into all the world and disciple. That's what he said, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That word name, one of the meanings is authority. He starts that by saying, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to me. I've given it to you. So when you go to the workplace, don't go in your own authority. Don't go in your own ability. Don't go even in your own, you know, strength. Go in the authority of Jesus Christ. You're his ambassador. You represent him. And you know, Patrick does that well. We just seen a real shift in him. Patty Phillips. Many of you that are new around here probably know Patty Phillips. And Maribel. Why? Because they're very intentional about looking for new people who want to know what Christ is really like. How can we help you get connected here with spiritual family? How many of you know spiritual family is important? I showed you the stats last week of teenagers. They have more social media presence than ever, and they're also isolated and lonelier than ever. 50% of them cite that they don't really have close friends that can. So Patty and Maribel and different ones, You know, even on a Sunday, they're looking to engage people. They're not timid. We need to be about the Father's business. And I promise you, I'm even preaching to myself. I can be bold. You've seen it. I can be bold up here. I want to be bold out there. I want to be less insecure out there, because what the Lord's showing me is, Steve, sometimes you're reading that other person and you can read them well. And yeah, you can sense that they're closed, and then those who are open to hear about me. But he said, there's sometimes that they're closed. I need you to go ahead and say what I'm asking you to say. I need you to go ahead and speak the word. And I'm growing in that. Father, as you help me grow, as you mature me, would you mature others, Lord, who just under the sound of my voice, they know that's them too. You are a good helper, Holy Spirit. You're an empowering helper. And we just lay down timidity and insecurity for the authority, boldness, confidence, and identity that Christ brings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ron Garman brought me a word. He didn't even know, you know, the significance of it. But during greeting time, Ron brought me the word Proverbs 27, verse 5. Write that down if you're taking notes. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wow. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. So as the Lord, I ask you, if you need to lean into somebody, you need to challenge them with truth in love, then do that. Don't conceal it if he's asking you to share it. So some cross references for you. When we're talking about right here, 43 through 45, Jesus knew there's no honor for him there, and yet that's why he went. That's what I see in this passage. Matthew 13, 53 through 57, you can put that in your notes. They were offended at him because they knew him after the outer man. He didn't look the part of Messiah and all that. They were offended at him. And then John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. He came to his own, and his own did not what? Did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but who are born of God. So this is nothing new. Coming to his own, they don't understand him, they don't know who he is, but he at times went anyway. And then we see verse 45. Oh yeah, there's that one. Verse 45. Testing. When he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him. Well, I thought John just said that Jesus knew he didn't have any honor there, but they received him. Must be a different kind of receiving. They'd heard about the miracles, but that doesn't mean they know who he is. And that sure doesn't mean they're seeking him for the right reasons. They might receive him because they all want their children healed and their pocketbooks fed. Come on, somebody. The reception is not what it would seem. Is it possible them receiving them was outward and self-centered, self-serving, and not a receiving of the true heart? Receiving him because he is the living Son of God, and whether he did anything for them ever, they love him and their heart belongs to him. That's a different receiving than, Lord, would you do a sign? Would you do a wonder for us so we can, you know, believe in you? How about John chapter 2, verse 23 through 25? They were also just interested in signs and wonders. It says they believed because of the signs, but Jesus didn't entrust himself to men because he knew their hearts. Their hearts were far from him. It's like the loaves and the fishes. They're only interested in what he can do for them. I'm glad we've never done that. We love him whether he does anything for us. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Here in America, we only love him because he's the Messiah. Because he's God, not because we want him to do something for us. Check out verse 46. Here's where I got it. John chapter 4, verse 46. Do you guys have that one back there? Should be after Matthew. Yeah. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee. So he went anyway. And he'd made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." So that's what he's talking about. There is a receiving, but it's self-serving. It's self-serving. So Jesus doesn't address the man only here. He addresses the whole group we've been talking about. He says, "You people, the whole region, all of you." I want to add this. It's not all bad that we want him to heal our children. It's not all bad that when we're not well, we want to be made well. But I think this clearly shows God's heart for you is to seek him for who he is and to know him intimately, not for what he can do for you. Amen. It's not all bad. Just remember that when he touches your child or your grandchild or he heals you, he's doing all that so you can know the healer. Not so you'll build three booths around healing. I mentioned that last week. You ever notice how he healed so many different ways? Wet willies sometimes. Spit in the mud, put mud pies on people's face. Why is he doing all that? Because it's not about how he does it. It's not about the healing itself. Every person Jesus healed physically died. So don't hang your hat on that. Clearly there's something else he's after, and it's that you would have eternal life. Knowing him, the healer. Knowing him, the deliverer, the savior of the world. So let's pick it up here in verse 49. I'll read 48 again. He said, "Unless you all see signs and wonders, you don't believe." The nobleman ignores Jesus. He said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said, "Well, go your way. Your son lives." Wow. So the man believed the word Jesus spoke, and he went his way. How about that? Just turn right around. Here we go. And he was now going down. His servants told him, saying, "Your son lives." Verse 52. And so he inquired. I love this. He asked him, "What time did he get better?" Because he wanted to know. So they said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew it was the same hour Jesus had said, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. 81% of the time, when dad comes to Christ, the whole family comes to Christ. 81%. Dads, husbands. Why do you think the enemy wants dads out of the home? Why does the enemy want to crucify fathering in this day and hour? 81% of the time. Now, ladies, 18% of the time, when the mama comes to Christ, the whole family comes to Christ. And then children, 8%. 8% of the time. So we all need to come to Christ. Amen? But I find this interesting. He and his whole household came to believe on Christ. Verse 54, this again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Who knows? What was the first one he did? Water into wine, right? Yep, we covered that one. So, signs and wonders. Okay, he went anyway. Clearly there's something deeper that he's interested in than that we love him because of the miracles he can do. Don Wheeler gave this analogy when we had the teaching team together. This is so good. He said, you know, Oklahoma City has a sign 10 miles east of it, right? There's a sign that says Oklahoma City this way. That sign is not Oklahoma City. Isn't that so good? When he healed you, or he healed your daughter, or he delivered your coworker from drugs, that sign is not him. In other words, the end all be all. That sign is to point your coworker to the living Christ, to abide in him, walk in his ways, and do his works. That's what it is to be a disciple. And so Jesus is catching some of this. He's very perceptive that there are people who serve him only for the loaves and fishes. They're only seeking him because of signs and wonders. But we understand he's after something much deeper than that. What a great analogy. As I mentioned before, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou has sent. Knowing God. That's gnosko. Gnosko. I heard a testimony of a young man this weekend at a conference. He was talking about he had been in church off and on for so much of his young life. He said, but I did not gnosko the Lord. I knew exactly what he meant. I had not firsthand experientially known Christ in my heart. I'd heard about him because I'd been to church. I'd heard others talk about him. But how many of you know there came a day where he heard the good shepherd himself? He heard him, received him, and then he gave him the power to be his son. And that's who he is today. That's what he was testifying about. Yeah. John 17:3. Jesus says, yeah, you guys believe, but your belief, like those in Jerusalem and in John 2, even like his own brothers, John chapter 7, verse 5, his brothers are like, man, go show off. If you are who you say you are, go show off, because it says they didn't believe him. John chapter 7, verse 5. In other words, this belief you say you have, this receiving of me, this welcoming me, really doesn't honor me. It's not recognizing me. Wow. We can call it belief, but it's not the kind that would unite you to Christ and treasure him as the only begotten Son of God. Do you see the difference? You can call it belief, but is it the belief, the knowing that unites you to Christ? Now, in fairness to them, they can't really comprehend the things of the Spirit. Why? Because they're not of the Spirit. They're not born again. You and I, though, we have the Spirit. So we can discern and recognize, hey, I don't want to get drifted into following him just because of what he does for me. I want to know him intimately. I want to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So here's a question for you. Don't be afraid to answer. Was this high official, the nobleman, was he a sign seeker too, or a genuine lover of Jesus? How do you see this? Ooh, Steve! He was a sign seeker. And then I think something happened. I think he had a revelation. Are you getting baptized next week? Or is it 29th?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, you nailed it, brother. You nailed it. I think when it first started, that's exactly what he was doing. He'd heard about Jesus, so he's, please heal my son. But boy, something shifted. He's asking for a miracle for his son in a culture where people love to see miracles. He seems to be asking for the same reason that any unbelieving person would want to see a miracle, right? I need help. Please help me. I need health for my son. Please heal him. Fix it. I don't think his motive in the beginning was, I want to know you, Jesus, and I'm going to follow you no matter what, and I love you with all my heart, whether you do anything for me or not. I don't think that's where he's at, but I think he sees something. And I think that's a little bit of the point that when I was sitting in this passage that the Holy Spirit was making to me, is that any of us, not just unbelievers, any of us can want to begin to use God for what he can do for us. But I want to grow and mature to the point where, Lord, if you never did another thing, you've done so much for me. I was dead and you made me alive. I was unclean and you made me righteous. I was separate from God and now I'm in union with you. The ledger was filled with sin and now my ledger has no sin. I mean, if you never did another thing, Lord, I love you and I believe you and I trust you. And I see that with this man, kind of the turn, because he obeyed Jesus without question. Jesus just said, your son lives, and he's off he went. He didn't insist on seeing the miracle himself. He went away believing. He did not say, oh, no. I got to see it. You got to come to my house. We got to do it my way. You got to come to my house and touch the boy. Jesus merely spoke the word, and it was enough. Reminds me of Mary. You remember with the angel, and she said, be it unto me according to your word. That's why I agree with Steve here. I think there's a shift. He just went away believing. He left believing. In that moment of seeing Jesus, think of this, in spite of the rebuke that you guys just seek a sign. This guy, he ignored that. Something awakened in him, and he saw into Christ's heart. He saw his deity. He saw his power. He saw his love. And he's a man. He's a nobleman, so he understands authority. I think that clicked too, right? Just speak the word. We find that also in the Gospels. Just speak the word, and it'll happen. Will you stand with me? All right, I shared with you my observations. Who's got an observation this morning? Christy, you got an observation? Aaron?
No.
Casey, Sherry, Nick, Stacy. Okay, thanks, Ron.
One of the things that I really noticed in this is that you don't have to get everything right to meet Jesus. And if it does take a sign and a wonder, that's good. Yeah. If it does take Steve not being so timid, that's good. Yeah. Whatever avenue it takes, that the Spirit uses, that's good. Because mm-hmm. The Lord is, he's our Father. And he only gives us good things.
Amen.
And so if you're out there right now and you're thinking, you know, I don't really know how to do this.
Right.
That's good. Because he does.
Right.
And he'll meet you right where you are. Amen. Amen. You know, on the day that I saw my son raised twice from the dead, I only had the faith to know that I didn't have what it took to raise my son from the dead.
Wow.
So I just trusted him.
I see that with this gentleman.
That's exactly what that was.
He definitely knew he couldn't do it.
So then once that happened, I realized this is the God who can do all the things that I can't do. Mm-hmm. And that's good.
That's a good thing.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Really good. Really good. Yeah.
Here. I don't usually do coffee. I don't know if I do coffee in the Word every other day, and I usually don't do it on Saturday, but I actually did coffee in the Word on this scripture yesterday.
Is that right? Okay.
And this is part of what I had. Sorry, I don't have my regular glasses. It says in this passage. I can't.
Wow, how do you see that?
I know.
There it is. There we go. There it is.
In this passage, we encounter a royal official who approaches Jesus with a desperate plan for his dying son. Initially, his faith seems to hinge on Jesus' ability to perform a miracle. Jesus' response Jesus' response, unless you people see a sign and wonders, you will never believe, John 4:48, challenges us to examine the foundation of our own faith. We are seeking Jesus only for what he can do for us, or are we trusting in who he is? The official's journey of faith is a powerful reminder of the transformation Jesus desires in us. When Jesus tells him, go, your son will live, John 4:50, the official believes and departs, demonstrating a shift from needing physical evidence to trusting Jesus' word. This is the essence of true faith, believing in Jesus, in Jesus' promises and his character, even when we cannot see the outcome, Hebrews 11:1.
That's good.
Jesus is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. Good, Roger. Thank you. One more. Yeah. That's really good. Really good.
Amen. And so what I was thinking about when you were talking about being timid and not to be timid when you go out and speak the word that God has given you. Mm-hmm. And I know personally as far as going out into speaking his word, and it's not an easy thing. And so for 13 years, I served on the Oklahoma City Public School Board.
Okay.
And so anyway, that we know that the issues that are going on in education, they're very, you know, hard at this time. And so anyway, I remember people coming to me and asking me if I would run. And so anyway, I was like, no, I have personal things going, no. And so anyway, I prayed about it. And so anyway, through that, God, he did put me on assignment for that. And so anyway, it was a holy boldness that I had to have and to speak. Oftentimes, because sometimes the issues were so heavy. And so anyway, but God would always remind me, what you do unto the least of them, you've also done unto me. So through that, it wasn't easy. Sometimes you become a target. Yeah. Sometimes people will not like you. You oftentimes feel alone. But we have to do it, and sometimes that we are afraid, but we have to do it afraid as well.
Super good. Amen. Yeah, and I was reminded when Ruth was saying that, I remember him telling me one time, I need you to love them more than you love yourself. Yeah. Because the reason I wasn't going to share is because I loved myself and my own, you know, I didn't want the awkwardness of it or the rejection maybe of it. Yeah, Matt, come on up, brother. Yeah, so we need to love them well. And then something else the enemy would use against me is, I wasn't worthy. You know, you're not worthy to share that. But you know what, devil? It's not about me. I'm not telling them I'm worthy. I'm telling them he is. This is the guy I've met who, when I do a big piece of stupid, is there to pick me up. You know, I think of Peter, how when he fell into the ocean or the sea, that it says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and picked him up. Yes. All right, last one, Dottie. Last one.
I just want to encourage y'all. We're taking over the communion. And if any of y'all are struggling with your separation from your old life,
that's good.
The communion is a tangible,
it's a great proof picture. Yeah.
That the body of Jesus Christ was shed for your healing, a tangible proof that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for your forgiveness. So
that's
take
right.
advantage of this.
That's right.
And even eventually maybe bring it into your family and let your children have that established in their heart, in their life, that this truth that I'm proclaiming freedom. And
so
we
good.
Have a bread recipe that is not like a stale piece of cardboard. Mm-hmm. It tastes delicious because of who it represents.
Amen.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We use the highest ingredients we can find because he's worthy.
Amen.
So receive
That's
a revelation
awesome.
Of that and walk in liberty and proclaim that.
Amen. You know, every time you go to this table, that communion or when we take it together, to me, I've always reminded of the divine exchange. So if that's you today and you need a reminder that it's your old life for his brand new life, purity of his own blood, his body broken for you, and do that. Go up there, and it's, I realize it's already happened, but it's the acknowledgement, it's faith. It's like, Lord, yes, I'm making this connection, that this is a table where the divine exchange is made, and I agree with you that I am pure, I am cleansed, and I am new in Christ. Amen. Okay, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask this morning, sweet spirit here, if you have never been born of the Spirit, you've never embarked on this brand new life in the Spirit. You know, God Himself is Spirit. And those who worship Him and commune with Him and walk with Him do so in spirit and in truth. If you've never received Him, I want to ask you right now to be honest with yourself. Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are born again, child of God, that He is your Father and your spirit has been ignited within you with the person of Christ? And as you ask that, if you'd say, Brother Steve, I know I'm not, but I would like to be. I want to receive Christ this morning. I want to begin life in His Spirit. Have a whole new perspective. If that's you, would you raise your hand real high so we can pray for you? I want to be born again. Anyone? Thank you, BH. Anyone else? Anyone else? Join BH. Oh, right back here. Thank you, guys. Back row on the left there. Larry, would you and Laura mind going back there? Two hands raised back. Far back row. And then David, you and Patty, would you get with BH? He's right here, three chairs in front of you. Guys, this is what it's all about. There's more joy in heaven over one person who comes to Christ than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I'm going to ask one more time. Anyone else, you'd say, I know I'm not born again, but I want to be. Let's pray with them. Pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and I seek your Spirit. And I've been promised that if I'll seek you, I will find you. And so, Lord Jesus, I welcome you, your life, your Spirit, your holiness, your love, your forgiveness, your grace, and your companionship. I welcome into the depth of my heart and my being right now. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you wholeheartedly. Would you now teach me how to be your disciple? I love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Come on, let's celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless you guys. We'll get you some True You books. Well, I got that other new book out there. But we want to visit with you after service because we want to help you grow in Christ. Now let me pray for the gathered church. Church, you should open your hands like this. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for just wiping clean once again our heart and motive. Lord, we are free. We are free this morning. And yes, there's been times that we sought you for what you could deliver and do for us. But Lord, we see and we're reminded once again that in our heart of hearts, the new creation heart, Lord, we just love you. We just know who you are. And so we pledge to follow you. I thank you, Lord, for these opportunities. As Ruth talked to step out of the boat, Lord, and do what you ask us to do. It doesn't matter if we're rejected. It doesn't matter anymore. Because all insecurity, doubt, fear, and timidity are broken and crushed underneath our feet today. Because, Lord, we stand in you and you in us. And we've put on the whole armor of God. We put on the authority, the name of Jesus Christ, and the boldness, the confidence, and the love that comes with it. Your perfect love has removed all our fear. May we run, Lord, to the fields this week. May we run with open eyes and open arms to the harvest that's all around us. And Lord, I thank you for just supernatural kingdom breakthrough for each and every opportunity. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.